Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all mothers, grandmothers, expectant mothers, those who play a maternal role in the life of others. There's a beautiful, beautiful quote about the beauty of motherhood and mothers, but I didn't have time to print it out, so I got to read it off my phone. So, let's see here. Got a couple texts. Hold on a second. Okay. This is a quote from Cardinal Mencheti, who was a Hungarian cardinal. And it really is, I think, one of the most beautiful things ever said about a mother. The most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She has built something more magnificent than any cathedral, a dwelling for an immortal soul, the tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God the Creator than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. What on God's good earth is more glorious than this, to be a mother? Quite nice. I still have a homily. That wasn't it. So just wanted to start with that. So again, happy Mother's Day. The Good Shepherd image that our Lord uses, and that's used a number of times in Scripture, is very important, and it bears further analysis, because if our Lord used this image very intentionally, and it was very important in the early centuries of the church, the depiction of God as our Lord as the Good Shepherd, this is what you see in some of the earliest artwork in the catacombs in Rome, images of Christ the Good Shepherd with sheep on his shoulders. So we need to look at, what does it mean that our Lord calls himself Shepherd, Good Shepherd, and what does it mean that we are called sheep? It's not a flattering thing. It's not a very flattering thing for us. So we think about that. Our Lord as the Good Shepherd. The early Christians saw Psalm 23, the well-known Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want, etc., as an allegory for God working in us through the sacraments. That laying us down beside restful waters was an image of baptism, and that nourishing us, allowing us to feed in green pastures, was an image of feeding us with the Holy Eucharist. In fact, last week during one of the daily masses, there was a seemingly random off-the-cuff comment by St. John in his gospel, in the gospel about the multiplication of the loaves, and he says, there was a lot of grass in that place. You're like, okay, thanks, John, for telling us that. But the reason, I think providentially, that he was inspired to say that is because it called to mind that Christ was the Good Shepherd, and he was feeding his flock in green pastures, that he fed all of these people by a miraculous abundance of bread, and he was then their Good Shepherd, calling to mind and preparing them for the fact that he would continue to be the Good Shepherd, feeding them with his own body and blood until the end of the age. So our Lord is a Good Shepherd because he feeds us through the sacraments. He cares for us through the sacraments. He's also a Good Shepherd because without him we stray. The crozier, the staff, the crook that bishops hold is an image not just, of like a walking stick, but it's something that's a corrective. It kind of keeps the sheep where they need to be going. It keeps them in the flock. And that's another thing, that sheep are always in a flock. That's not the case with every animal. So that tells us something about our Lord's intentions for us as his disciples to be members of the body, the church, that we are not disconnected from one another, but that we are members of the church, members of the flock. And to call our Lord the Good Shepherd doesn't just mean that he's good because he's kind and gentle. It's a very tender image, of course, with our Lord with the sheep on his shoulders. It's a beautiful, loving image, and I'm sure that's one of the main reasons that it resonated so deeply with the early church. But he is called good not simply because he is a kind and gentle shepherd, but because he lays down his life for us, and because he does whatever he needs to do to keep us with him. That the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. But sometimes even then they stray, and the shepherd has to take more extreme measures to keep them in the flock. And so our Lord sometimes allows harsh suffering to come our way. The correction that we receive sometimes has to be a little harsh, not because our Lord is harsh, but because our hearts are not prepared for the truth which we need to receive and need to conform to and need to bend to. I'm sure I've mentioned this before when this gospel comes up, but I remember hearing a story of a priest who was in the Holy Land, and he was on a bus going through Galilee, and he saw a shepherd, a young shepherd, shepherding sheep. And he thought, "Wow, this is amazing. I'm in the Holy Land, and I get to see this image of a shepherd and sheep. This is so beautiful, how moving and everything." And then one of the sheep began to stray, and so the priest thought, "Oh my goodness, what a providential moment. I get to see everything our Lord was talking about. Now I will see this shepherd bringing back the sheep to the fold." And as he was thinking this, the shepherd picked up a rock and whipped it at the sheep to get it back. So the whole biblical image and stuff kind of broke down at that point. But it did get across an important truth about shepherd and sheep. Hey, we have a very, very nice image of shepherd and sheep. It's a cute little image, but in reality, it ain't so cute, right? The shepherd needs to be harsh sometimes. And again, because he loves and wants to take care of the sheep, so is our Lord with us. The good shepherd is good not just because he is gentle, but also because he is willing to do what is necessary to keep us with him. And if our Lord shepherds that way, then the church ought to shepherd that way as well, right? That we should never tire or shy away from speaking the truth, because we speak it not because the truth is harsh. In fact, the truth is liberating, but sometimes being unprepared for it, it seems harsh to us. But that's no reason not to say it. You know, that's no reason not to shepherd in the way the good shepherd would. You know, a lot of people meaning by this that we should just be nice and kind and gentle say things like, "Well, think about what Jesus would do in this situation. You know, think about what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do? You know, you're not being, you know, kind enough. Be kind like Jesus." Well, Jesus wasn't always kind, right? Jesus was always loving. Jesus always did what was necessary for his sheep, even to the laying down of his own life, right? Shedding blood for his sheep. But the shepherd will shepherd in the way that he needs to shepherd, depending on how the sheep are. The sheep are in the flock, and they are listening to his voice. Then I'm sure the sheep have a wonderful, wonderful feeling towards the shepherd. Sheep is straying from the flock, then, you know, the measures are different there. Sometimes whipping a rock, you know. I mentioned this last night, and Deacon told me afterwards. He said, I should have mentioned, you know, I don't intend to whip any rocks here, okay? Got a lot of them outside, you know, but the image there is just that our Lord sometimes allows, because I'm a sheep too, right? I'm not the good shepherd. That's our Lord. Our Lord allows us to suffer and to experience difficulties. He doesn't send them to us, but he allows us to experience them, sometimes to bring us back to the flock. And so our Lord as shepherd, that image makes sense. We as sheep, that makes sense too, because sheep, as I said, are always in a flock, as our Lord intends us to be one flock and one shepherd. He intends our unity. He spent much of his time at the Last Supper in John's Gospel talking about how he desires all of his disciples to be one. And so for that reason, the flock of sheep is a fitting image. Also, we don't always know what we're supposed to be doing, like sheep don't always know what they're supposed to be doing. We can think we know what we're doing, and we stray off and quickly find ourselves, you know, a prey to the wolves. We find ourselves vulnerable. And the shepherd knows where they're supposed to go, knows where the food is, knows where they need to end up. The sheep don't. And so by comparison, we are really, really dumb compared to the infinite knowledge of our good shepherd. Like, he has our good, our freedom, our joy as his end goal for all of us. And he knows how to get us there. We don't know how to get there. Sheep can't survive on their own. If they stray from the shepherd, then they have an illusory temporary freedom. But then quickly they are eaten up by wolves. They have nothing to protect themselves. I've never really seen a sheep fighting back. I don't know if they have any tools to fight back. They don't have claws or anything like that. They just kind of stand there and get eaten, which is pretty much what happens to us if we stray from the good shepherd. If we stray from his voice, we truly have no defense against the evil one. We might take comfort in our own cleverness and our own intelligence and our own strength, but in reality, The devil is greater than us in all of those categories. So we really have no defense other than remaining within the flock, the church, and listening to the shepherd's voice. That's how we survive, and not just survive, but thrive. That's how we remain free. That's how we remain happy and healthy, spiritually speaking. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, let's reflect on that beautiful image more. It's certainly a tender image, but also a humbling image, because it reminds us of how we really have nothing on our own that can defend us or bring us to where we're supposed to go. It all depends on listening to the shepherd's voice. And so let's pray for humility, to always be open to his voice and to his correction and his guidance, even if it goes against what we would like to do in our lives.